From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall.
And I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Last year, we brought you the shocking story of Katie Brennan, who was allegedly sexually assaulted by a member of New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy's campaign staff.
She told police, members of the campaign, transition team, and eventually the governor's staff. But the man she accused of attacking her was never charged. In fact, he was hired by the Murphy administration.
Brennan had exhausted all the official channels for reporting the incident to no avail. So she went public with her accusations in a Wall Street Journal article. Soon after, the New Jersey legislature formed a committee to investigate, and Brennan herself testified, along with various members of the transition team and administration.
Today, we're bringing you our original episode from last December, where we talked to WHYY New Jersey reporter Joe Hernandez.
And then later, I'll talk to Joe about why Katie Brennan's case may bring about some changes in the law 2 years after the fact.
Today on The Why, forced to go public, the fallout.
Joe, the story starts in April of 2017. What was Katie Brennan doing then?
She was a supporter of the Murphy campaign for governor. He was still running at that point. So she was at a campaign event in North Jersey, and she got a ride home from a guy named Al Alvarez. He was working on the campaign at that point as the director for community outreach for Murphy. And he drove her home, and he asked to come upstairs to use her bathroom and for a glass of water. And that's when she says he pushed her onto her couch and then raped her. The day after, she went to the Jersey City Police Department and reported it to them. The Hudson County Prosecutor's Office got it, and they did an investigation.
That summer, Katie Brennan went to volunteer for the campaign, which some people might find confusing, given that her alleged attacker was still working there. But she explained that to the committee.
As a victim of sexual assault, I should not be the one to give up my career goals in favor of the career goals of my rapist.
Did anyone on the transition team know about these charges?
Yes. So Brennan was friends with a guy named Justin Braz, and he was working on the transition team.
On Sunday evening, April 9th, I met Katie and one of her friends at her apartment. Katie then told me that Al Alvarez sexually assaulted her the day before. Katie did not ask me to relay her accusations to anyone. She said she wanted to handle it in her own way. I respected her decision and her privacy.
Then she hears from the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office that a decision on Alvarez is incoming. And she's thinking, they're going to arrest this guy. So she goes to Braz and says, listen, I heard from the prosecutor's office. I think Alvarez is going to be arrested. Maybe you should give some people on the transition a heads up.
So, with Katie's authorization, I reached out and spoke to the transition's counsel, Raj Parikh, and then to Pete Camerano, the incoming chief of staff. I told them that Mr. Alvarez was accused of sexual assault by someone involved in a transition committee and that he might be arrested in the near future.
So Camerano testified that Parikh advised him, first of all, there are confidentiality rules around something like this. Don't tell anyone. So Camerano says at that time he didn't tell the governor. It seems like, from the testimony we've heard so far, that's as far as it went in the transition. The Hudson County Prosecutor's Office, someone from there reaches out to her and says, our decision on this case is coming soon.
Later that very same day, December 1st, 2017, I was advised that the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office had declined to take my case. There are no words to describe the hollowness and the disappointment I felt. The trauma, the invasive tests, the questioning, the waiting were all for nothing.
They decided not to press charges against Alvarez.
Why?
We don't know.
In January of this year, Phil Murphy took office.
I, Philip Dunton Murphy,
elected governor of the state of New Jersey.
Elected governor of the state of New Jersey.
Do solemnly.
We're into the Murphy administration. She learns that not only did Alvarez keep his job on the transition, but he got a job in the administration.
And though I was nervous to tell my employer, in order to prevent any future issues, I determined that I must directly alert the administration.
So March of 2018 rolls around. She goes to Murphy's chief counsel, Matt Platkin.
I told Mr. Platkin that Mr. Alvarez had raped me. Mr. Platkin was horrified and told me that he would contact the attorney general's office to see if anything could be done.
Platkin tells Camerano about this claim, which Camerano already knows.
This was the first time that I had heard that Katie Brennan was the person assaulted by Mr. Alvarez.
And Platkin says, you should tell Alvarez to leave state government.
And when you say tell him to leave, like what does that mean?
I mean, most people would say when you tell someone to leave a job, you're firing them. Alvarez was not fired. Alvarez is told to leave a job, and he doesn't.
I sit here all the time and say, you know, if there's something I would have done different, it would have been to make sure he was gone.
Months go by, and on June 1st...
I emailed the governor and First Lady Tammy Murphy. I asked to have a meeting with one or both of them about a sensitive matter that occurred during the campaign.
She didn't say explicitly that she wanted to talk about a rape or a sexual assault. And Murphy replies, we're on it. He CCs some of his scheduling people, and no meeting is ever scheduled.
So, did Phil Murphy ever find out about Katie Brennan's alleged assault?
He says he found out on October 2nd when he was told about everything after the Wall Street Journal began asking people in his administration for a comment.
Which obviously made me sick and continues to this day.
October 2nd was also the day that the Wall Street Journal asked Alvarez for a comment. He resigned from the job the day the Wall Street Journal reached out.
Why do you think Katie Brennan decides to go to the press?
It was her last resort.
I should not have to be here today.
I mean, she felt like at every step along the way, she did the right thing.
I reported my attack to the police and the Hudson County Prosecutor's Office, and my report went unheard.
She alerted transition officials, she alerted administration officials, and along every step, nothing happened for her.
I asked to report my attack to the governor and first lady, and my request went unheard.
And when this Wall Street Journal story came out, everyone saw it, and that's when things started to happen. There are two kind of, in my mind, separate things to deal with. One is the criminal side, where, you know, in this case, it's still unclear why, but the prosecutor's office declined to press charges. And the other is kind of the workplace side, and what are the policies and procedures in New Jersey state government for dealing with something like this? And nobody really seems clear on that yet. And maybe that's what comes out of this at the end, is that there is no good process or procedure for dealing with something like this. And while everyone might have had good intentions, although Brennan might disagree with that, people didn't have a roadmap to follow, and that's why nothing was done.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
You got it, Gus.
This is The Why. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Why, which means you like deep dives into local stories.
We can't do it without listeners like you.
Consider a monthly gift to WHYY of any amount you choose.
Support your public media station now by visiting whyy.org.
Thanks for your support. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I recently brought Joe Hernandez back into the studio for an update on the committees looking into Katie Brennan's story. Joe, thanks for coming back in.
You bet.
So, Joe, since we last spoke, what's happened with Katie Brennan's case?
So, in February, the Murphy administration came out with a report it commissioned looking to its own reaction to the Katie Brennan allegations. And it found that the people in the administration, they did what they thought they could do. They did what they felt like they were supposed to do, but that there weren't enough processes in place to kind of guide them through it. But then the legislature comes out with its report, the committee investigating this, and found sort of the opposite, that there were processes in place, there were rules, but it was the people in the Murphy administration that didn't follow them, that they could have done more and should have done more when confronted with these allegations. So, for example, Matt Platkin, who was Murphy's chief counsel, thought he couldn't even tell Murphy about the allegations because of confidentiality rules, but the legislature found that that was not true. He should have told Murphy. And the legislature also found that the administration mishandled the decision to basically fire Alvarez. The officials told him he should leave, and Alvarez just never left. And finally, the committee found that the administration used these overly broad confidentiality agreements, which made some people feel like they couldn't even talk about these allegations to other people in the office.
Is anything going to happen based on the report?
Well, the report makes some recommendations for changes to the law that legislators think may be able to head off something like this happening again. And one of the big ones is basically to make gubernatorial transition teams, make them subject to the same rules that state employees and state agencies are subject to. Right now, they're in a bit of kind of limbo between politics and government, and this would really tighten that up and make them part of government. But in terms of consequences for individuals in the administration, it seems like nothing might happen. Governor Murphy says he stands by his people and he believes that they did what they thought was right.
Was there anything else revelatory in the report?
Well, really, the purview of the committee was supposed to be about hiring practices in the administration generally. There had been stories about another guy who had a public corruption conviction and was hired by the administration when that was expressly prohibited. But this report really only covers the Brennan-Alvarez case. And some of the Republicans on the committee came out and said, you know, we shouldn't be issuing a report. We should not stop investigating because there's more here to see. But the committee for now has issued its report and has no plans to meet again.
What's Katie Brennan doing now?
Well, she still works in state government. She's the chief of staff of the Housing and Mortgage Finance Agency, which she'd been hired to do before she came out and spoke publicly about this. And when she testified, she said to the legislators, coming out and speaking out about this has impacted my work. You know, I feel like I might not be getting calls I should be getting or being excluded from meetings I should be in. But, you know, she's still in that job and it's unclear how it's affected her since.
All right, Joe, thanks for coming back in.
You got it.
Al Alvarez continues to deny the allegations against him. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Tweet me at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back tomorrow.